The Shake versus Holder will be taken on the briefs, and the court will proceed to the sixth case, Embry versus the City of Calumet City. Mr. Kesa?
May it please the court. I am Luke Kesa, and I represent Mr. Embry in this matter. This comes to your honors as a summary judgment in which the district court determined that the Connick-Pickering test did not apply to the facts on the case, and that Mr. Embry's position was one of policymaking. The facts here are a little unique. In 2009, there was an election in Calumet City. At that time, there was during a primary season, Mr. Embry supported the mayor and the mayor's ticket, which included for the aldermanic candidates for the city council. At the time of the general election, he did the same. He put up campaign signs. He made signs. He walked precincts. He did all of that was asked for of him in the office. He did political work for them, for all of them. The distinction, the trouble started sometime after the April election. He was called in. He was asked by one of the aldermen, who was the chairman of the Public Works Committee, to address issues of tree cutting and tree trimming, all of which were part of his or within his authority. According to the testimony in the record of Mr. Manasopoulos, the chairman of the Public Works Committee, he asked him to come to an open meeting with other employees and say specific things. Say, we're going to cut the grass. Say, we're going to trim the trees. According to the testimony of Mr. Manasopoulos, Mr. Embry refused to do that or didn't do that. At the meeting, he testified that when asked, he said, I can't devote anybody. I can't get the grass cut. Throughout the course of this litigation, the defendants have never raised the issue of Mr. Embry's political allegiances. That seems to be most critical in the distinction between whether a Connick-Pickering test would apply or an Elrod Branty test would apply. If the Connick-Pickering test applies, we have a whole host of different factual considerations to make. If Branty applies, then we go directly to whether he was a policymaker. But before you can get there, you have to determine whether there was, in fact, a political aspect to this termination. Moving forward beyond April of 2009, we get to September 2009 when reappointments are made. The mayor authored a document submitted to the city council, presumably, reappointing him. That reappointment, or that process of reappointment, somehow came off the rails between the time she signed the letter reappointing him and the time it went for approval for the consent of the city council. Nowhere in that time frame were Mr. Embry's political loyalties or allegiances raised. All of the aldermen who testified in the case and the mayor indicated they had no political rift between them. There was no political aspect to the termination of Mr. Embry. What is equally important, though, is at the time of his termination, or the non-reappointment, Nick Yokovich was, in fact, assumed the position. of commissioner. However, the ordinance requirements were never met. He was never signed on, never certified by either the mayor or the personnel director. So there are open questions of fact, disputed issues of fact, over whether this was a political termination based on his political beliefs, based on Embry's political beliefs. I think Marshall is most instructive. The defendant cites Davis versus Octomon, which is a very recent decision of this court. Davis is less applicable because it focuses on that policy-making question. But before you even get to that policy-making question, a determination must be made that there, in fact, was a political component to the termination. The defendants have denied that all along in this case, and it simply cannot be the case now on appeal that there is a political component to the termination. The defendants also cite as a basis for their conclusion that it was a policy-making position, that the ordinances in Calumet City direct us to conclude that this is a policy-making or implementation of policy position. That, I would argue, is an overstatement of the case. I think what Branty specifically points us to is the description, if more descriptive, if more particular, if more specific, it's less likely to be policymaking.
Let me ask you this, Ms. Katzen. If you have a position where the chief executive nominates and the legislature has to confirm the appointment, doesn't that seem to start the ball rolling toward a policy position?
It could. I think easily under Branty, what the court seems to suggest and what is picked up by the Davis line of cases is that appointments many times are, but in Hanania, that was not the case. This court determined that in Hanania, although that person may have been appointed and may even be appointed to an elected position, that does not end the inquiry. Malone versus Indianapolis Housing Authority suggests the same result, and I will reserve the balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Murphy?
May it please the court and opposing counsel, Your Honor, I represent the alderman. Mr. Odelson's office represents the city, but of course, for purposes of this appeal, our issues are merged. If I can put this Connick matter to bed first before we discuss the real issue of this case, there is not one word in this record indicating that Jay Embry spoke as a citizen on a matter of public concern. In order for a First Amendment plaintiff to get out of the starting gate on a free speech case, that is the sine qua non. Interestingly, plaintiff's response to our statement of uncontested facts, paragraph 30, where we stated that plaintiff did not engage in any speech activity as opposed to association activity, was that, quote, there was no evidence he did not engage in any speech activity. Well, that I would suggest is not what a plaintiff in a free speech case has to do. There is no evidence of a free speech component to this case, and Judge Cannelli correctly so found. Perhaps unlike most of the other cases we've listened to this morning, where the court has to sort out, are there disputed facts that entitle a plaintiff to a trial? This case readily lends itself to summary judgment practice. We assume, for purposes of our motion, that the defendants did not reappoint or appoint Mr. Embry to this new position because of politics. That's the purpose of summary judgment. Your cases teach that the focus on determining whether a position is policy-making in nature is to look at the duties inherent in the position. And particularly in a case like this where the duties are prescribed by law, meaning the ordinances of Calumet City, that almost ends the argument right there and allows the court to rule as a matter of law. Just to make sure we understand, because there's a lot of semantic issues in this case, Mr. Embry was the commissioner of streets and alleys. There was another fella who was the commissioner of water and sewer. The commissioner of water and sewer retired. They consolidated the positions, and the appointment at issue in this case was for the new combined thing. So as we point out on pages 18 and 19 of our brief, to look at those duties, the court needs to look at both components, streets, alleys, sewer, and water. And as Your Honor, Judge Flom indicated, I think the starting point in determining policymaking is whether it's a political appointment, meaning advanced by the executive branch, subject to advice and consent by the legislative branch, which is what this position department has was. So we look first at the ordinances of the city, and they clearly indicate that this new director of public works, which I will call it, has a significant amount of discretionary authority, which our case, your court's cases have indicated are policymaking in nature. In charge of permitting, in charge of things like water shutoff, in charge of maintaining the entire infrastructure of the city of Calumet City. Those are the earmarks of a policymaking position within the First Amendment Free Association claim, no less than the duties that the animal control officer had in the February decision of this court in Davis. Those duties in and of themselves would permit this court to affirm Judge Kennelly's summary judgment. Judge Kennelly did not have the benefit of Davis. His opinion was in late January, and Davis came down a couple weeks later. If we go beyond that to the undisputed facts in this case, it really fortifies the conclusion of the district court that this is a policymaking position, because it is one that has meaningful input into matters where people can have principled disagreements on matter of public policy. And keep in mind that, as we mentioned in our brief, public policy in a municipality is the bread and butter stuff of streets, police, and fire. Mr. Embry was the only non-union employee. Mr. Embry had the authority to suspend. Mr. Embry participated for management in labor negotiations. Mr. Embry was a member of the mayor's cabinet, meaning he would go to the department head only meetings, where he would meet with the mayor, the fire chief, the police chief, and the other department heads, where the mayor would formulate her policies and issue the marching orders to the department heads. Perhaps as a factual matter, what makes this case clear that Mr. Embry was a policymaker is the dispute over the grass cutting. The court will recall that Mr. Embry was asked by the alderman, we want to save money, stop with the outside vendors and the grass cutting. We want that brought in-house so we can keep people employed and save hundreds of thousands of dollars. Embry wasn't sure he could do that. For purposes of affirming summary judgment, it doesn't matter for this court. It is an example of the type of issue, going way back to the Tomczyk case, where this court said, you know, snow removal got Mayor Belanek out of a job. Matters of infrastructure maintenance go to the heart of policymaking decisions, whether it's the executive branch that says it's more important to get these streets cut or get this grass cut right away, and we'll pay the extra money for it, or for the legislative branch to say we can't afford it. That is a perfect example of the type of policy debate that goes on in our cities and villages today, where there is room for principled disagreement. The department head, the number one man in the department in charge of resource allocation, is it street repair versus grass removal, certainly has at least indirect input into that policy-making decision, which is all that is needed to show that this person's employment status is immune from the First Amendment political retaliation paradigm. I'd like to mention one other ground in particular. As the court recalls, we have several grounds to support the grant of summary judgment. But, again, following up on Judge Flom's initial inquiry, there's the issue of causation. The mayor of Calumet City, Ms. Quackenbush, is not a defendant in this case. The mayor, and only the mayor, has the authority to appoint a director of public works. The mayor, for whatever reason, did not choose Mr. Embry. The party who made the decision is not a defendant in this case. So quite apart from the issue of policymaker, plaintiff has a difficulty with the issue of causation because only the mayor can make that decision. I will be happy to answer any questions the court has, but for the reasons set forth in today's arguments and in the brief, we would ask the court to affirm.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Ms. Kasson.
Mr. Kasson, suppose Connick and Pickering did apply. Why would they give you a more favorable outcome than the one you got?
Because I think the political or the campaign speech that he engaged in is protected speech. He's permitted to talk to voters. He's permitted to try to sway voters to vote a particular way. He's permitted to do all of that.
Does the Garcetti case have any impact on this?
I do not believe so. I think here, as in comparison to Garcetti, Garcetti was particular speech that was part of his job duties. Here, I don't believe that the political aspect, his political speech, was part of his job duties at all. He was doing that on his own and on his own time. To address several matters, that there are 16 different ordinances that are suggested by the defendants, 16, describing the duties of Mr. Embry. Not one, not two, not, you know, as directed. 16 different ordinances. Mr. Counsel for the defendants suggests that all of the cabinet meetings that he attended, the union negotiations attended, the meetings with the mayor, none of those are in those ordinances. So he relies on the ordinances, yet factually it explains that there are those disputes over what made up this job. Quickly on the grass cutting, what is brushed over on this issue is really what the testimony is, and it's disputed. Mr. Manasopoulos says, Jay said, I'm not going to do it. However, Mr. Sarufka clearly says, a plan was prepared, was presented to me and the mayor. Thank you, Your Honor. I am out of time. We would ask for a reversal and remand of the district court.
Thank Kasson, thanks to all counsel. The case will proceed to the...